It's the day before Thanksgiving. It feels like a Friday, but it's a Wednesday. But nobody's on the road, really. But I bet everyone's at the grocery store. We're going to talk a little service, a little thankfulness, and talk about what we're eating tomorrow.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If it's there once, no need to repeat.
It's the pre-Thanksgiving bounce.
What's your go-to, Paul? What's like the one thing? You're like, that's what I got to have tomorrow. If I don't have it, it's not Thanksgiving.
Jeez, I'm just big on all the crappy carbs. So like stuffing and turkey gravy. Like if I don't have stuffing and turkey gravy, I'm like, did I even have Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
How about you?
Historically, it's stuffing. Uh-huh. And the way my mother makes it is she puts apples and raisins in it.
Oh.
However, I've been doing this keto thing for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And
just forget
my,
that for a
My day. Wife asked me, she was like, do you want to do stuffing? Because I break it. I break it every once in a while. But it just didn't sound good. So I'm most excited tomorrow. This is not a normal for me, but I'm most excited about bacon wrapped asparagus.
Ooh.
I know.
I mean, you had me at bacon wrapped, right? Finish that sentence with anything else, and we're going to be just fine. We're going to be just fine. So it's the day before Thanksgiving. I had to get my family vehicle in for service. And we have a Lincoln Navigator, which I bought just when the pandemic hit, because I saw all over the country dealers doing stupid things with inventory. And so I knew this was coming. I was like, we needed, our lease was up in our Durango. I'm one of those people. And so I was like, all right, my lease is up. What am I going to get into? And our family's growing. Like right now we have 5 kids in the car. So I was like, I need the biggest thing we can get. And the Durango we were in was a pretty nice Durango. And you think about it, a new Durango costs like $50,000, right? But a new Navigator L, like reserve, you know, it's like $100,000. And I was so, I know it's ridiculous. And so, but I started looking, I was like, all right, what can we do to step up? I would have gotten into another Jeep lease because we like the car, but they didn't have anything any bigger, right? Can't work that way. And so I just started looking. I actually went on cars.com, did a nationwide search because I'm like, I'm willing to travel for this sucker. I know dealers are like, we need to sell something. And yeah. I found a Navigator in, where was it? It was Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I called on it. I got it for $58,000. And it had like 56,000 miles on it. And it was certified pre-owned. So I literally bought a plane ticket. I flew to Milwaukee with my son. $100. We were the only people on the plane. The only people.
It was really?
Waiting to get on the plane. It was me, him, 2 flight attendants, 2 pilots.
No
and
way.
The desk person looked up and she goes, we're ready to board. And she stopped mid-sentence. We were like, well, I guess it's just us.
That's crazy.
And so we got all on the plane, right? The long story short, long story long. We got on the plane, picked up the car, drove it home from Milwaukee all same day. It was an amazing experience. But either way, so now I'm part of the Lincoln service experience. I need service. I need oil change. We said we got snow. I got to get the snow tires on. Use the app, the Lincoln app. On a Sunday, I was like, I want the valet, somebody to pick it up. These are the things I need done. And I got a confirmation text about an hour later from my dealer saying, like, yep, we're good to go. So they're about to pick up today. I'm like, Kyle, I was like, this is great. This is how service should be.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
And then it got fumbled a little bit. The local dealer, they texted and said, hey, we're going to be picking up your car at this time. Is that accurate? I was like, yes. I'm like, okay, things are working. Now I'm texting with like the service advisor or whatever. And they're like, what would you like done to the car today? I'm like, I typed all that in detail. On Sunday, right? I didn't say it like that, but they were like, we don't have access to that system. And so I was like, oh, one of those, like, so close.
So close. We've talked about this before in another way when Amazon and Hyundai designed their Amazon shopping experience and it hands off to a dealer's VDP.
Yep.
So OEMs are created. They understand what the roadmap has to be.
Right. They understood what my experience should have been.
Exactly. Yeah. But, the handoff is still broken. There's a data flow issue. There's a customer experience level potential issue. And I'm sure you're going to continue to have a great experience the rest of the day. Car's going to get picked up, all of that.
Yep.
But that, like, they now have to do extra things to bring you surprise and delight along the way.
Yeah.
Because there's that kind of like drop, like, oh.
And my expectations aren't super high. Like the bar isn't super high. Here's what I want. I want the car to be done today, right? Some basic stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be done before I go home from work, which shouldn't be hard. It's the day before Thanksgiving. And I just want the rental car to be clean. I don't even care. Or the loaner. I mean, it's going to be a Lincoln because it's the Lincoln, you know, valet. but it's not that much. But it's, I don't think the dealer, like I know the dealer and they're great people and they're competent. Right. And yes. Even the text message, right. It was nice and professional. And I felt good about that. It was the handoff is broken. Right. Mm. And we talk about this and run into it all the time, right. People owning the handoff and not being open with the API and not playing well with others. And that,
you know, what really stinks about that?
What?
You know what really stinks about that handoff is that it's most likely not the fault of the dealer, because there's some mandated system at the OEM level, right? That's not talking well to the dealer level, but it's structured from an OEM process level. Yet the OEM doesn't get the blame for that issue.
No,
that little drop not of at all. Trust. It's the dealer that gets the blame, and yet they're held captive to systems that aren't tied together.
Oh, that's
that
a
are
great
most
insight.
Likely mandated.
Because I asked in the text, I said, you know, oh, I typed that in, you know, in the app. And I'm sorry, we don't have access to that system, is what came back.
Ouch.
And so either way, it's Thanksgiving. I'm you just know, thankful I, someone's picking up my card.
To yeah, you know what's interesting? You and I were reading an original troublemaker, Damon Lester, was interviewed for Digital Dealer Magazine.
Yeah, this morning. Check your inbox.
Check your inbox if you get those emails. But one of the questions that they asked him was, I'd like to ask you about dealership tools. What's the one indispensable software tool Nissan Buick can't live without? Mm. And the very first thing that he said was a service tool for service communication with his customers.
You think that might have something to do with the fact that it's used hundreds, sometimes thousands of times every single day?
Because on digital dealer stages or NADA, everybody's like,
your website, your sales,
and he's like, no, the service thing is what creates lifetime loyalty and creates wow experiences multiple times a year, not just one time every 3 years. Mm.
And the service experience, we'll talk about what's different than like some of the barbarians at the gate. What's different from Carvana service?
You have one. you have a service here.
Make it great. Yes. Make it great, right? Like, let's not create the same environment where a commercial can be launched that says that didn't suck, right? That's the bar. It's so low. We just have to make it not suck. No, service is such a great opportunity to surprise and delight.
Yes.
Right? Surprise and delight.
This is crazy to me. I was on a Clubhouse room probably 2 months ago, and we were talking about how many sales trainers we could name off the top of our head in the industry.
Ding, 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 ding.
And
ding,
how right. few service trainers we could name off the top of our head.
Right.
Oh, boy.
How many marketing trainers can you name? Shameless plug alert. That's our whole premise. That's one of the reasons this podcast started. Speaking of training. Stop.
Segway. Time.
All right, so we had a giant Clubhouse room yesterday with all the different moderators coming in from all our different Clubhouse rooms, and we just had a moment to be grateful and thankful for what this year has meant for us. And over and over and over again, you can go back and listen to it, which is pretty cool. I'll put the link in the show notes today, because now Clubhouse has replays. So if you missed it, you can actually go back and listen to this. You can skip to the speakers you like. It's amazing. We're going to play.
You can listen on 2X, which is really fun.
That is. So it's a 30-minute Clubhouse room with all the trimmings. So we got to one point in the room. So people are going and talking about the value that social media, specifically Clubhouse, has brought to them over the last year. Not because Clubhouse is like this amazingly different. Well, it is pretty different than like Facebook. But the point is that social media and the relationships you built there, that's a community that is really committed to each other's growth and each other's development. And person after person after person was thankful for this community, saying like, I wouldn't be here in my career right now if it wasn't for this app and this community here.
Yeah, I'm one of them, right?
Yeah.
That played a part in
sure.
the trajectory that you and I have together.
Me too. Right? I can say the same thing.
Yeah.
One person that brought that up is probably most poignantly is someone that I've just gotten to know a little bit recently. I'm sure we'll get to know a lot more in the near future, but our boy Demetrius.
Yeah. So Demetrius is awesome. I met him originally through Clubhouse in modern day car sales. And then, you know, he's in the ecosystem and all around things. But what's interesting about Demetrius is what Clubhouse has done for him in his career is take him from sales manager to general manager, with general sales manager in between, in three different states, in less than, I think, 10 months.
Yeah.
Which is a really crazy career trajectory to have. And a lot of those relationships were formed out of that. But what we really wanted to talk about, and Paul, I'll have you play the section in just a second, but was an insight that he drew out as the room was kind of coming to a close, as we were talking about where people's focus is for the next 30 to 60 days. So
yeah, let's play the clip.
No, I was just going to, I was just clapping for Michelle, because ESI is probably our most valuable commodity right now, making sure that we have our people trained, prepared, ready physically and mentally for what's coming, and trained to the level to be able to understand and handle what's coming. So I definitely love what Michelle said.
So that little clip is in the middle of a broader conversation about what we can do to make sure that more people in the organization, from the top to the bottom, understand more of the industry. Right, Kyle, you jumped in after that.
Yeah, I think what was interesting to me about his comment, and what kind of like drew out what you and I have been talking about for a while, is when you think about preparing someone for what's coming, right? You can't just think about, you know, what's coming as the next person walking through the door,
right?
Or the next person to sell a car to. There has to be a broader scope. Your eyes have to be up.
That's like driving, looking straight down at the front of your vehicle.
Right.
Right. You're like going to see the pothole right before it goes under. Right.
Yeah. And so the idea is that you're not just looking at just the next transaction or the next person, but that person is a part of like trend data, of industry news, of, you know, keeping your eyes up on what's happening in the world, right? So that you have the ability to see broader scale, the impact that culture, the impact that the industry, things like chip shortages, things like, you know, where shutdowns are happening or not happening, where digital transformation, website transformation, technology transformation. And if the only time that your people get that is when you introduce it to them at the store level, then they're already going to be behind in the consumer interaction.
Which usually comes in the form of here's a new tool, you need to use it.
Right.
Why? Because people want it.
Mm.
That's usually how it's introduced. And so that kind of migrated into the fact that that's the very reason that this podcast exists. And we've said it before, but as we've thought about it more over the last week, 2 weeks, we were really thinking of the difference that gets made. When more people in your organization from the top to the bottom are at least aware. Awareness is like such an important gateway, because yes, you can't know the specifics and really drill down. People just naturally are going to go down the path that's most engaging to them, right? Sometimes it's the data, sometimes it's the creative, sometimes it's the leadership, right? And there's all these different areas. But walking through the door of awareness where they have a broad understanding, right? We don't have to go a mile deep, right? Let's try to go like an inch deep, a mile wide. I think that'll make a massive difference.
Okay, so tying this to your experience, right? Imagine if a service advisor or any other random person at your dealership is listening to Paul explain his story with the Lincoln store locally to him.
Yep.
And someone's going, wait, we have that too. And I just realized that I was curbing a problem by just acknowledging with the customers, but that's a bigger issue. What if that person brought it to you as a leader in your company, right? And was like, oh, I actually may have a solution to make this better for our customers, because they had their eyes up on what's available from a technology perspective in the industry.
Now bring it to the other side too. Imagine you have someone who isn't in product development, but is on your team and hears that and goes into the developers and say, hey, there's a problem that just came up today. Do we have something that can fix that? Or it seems like this could be something we could fix or could approach. And maybe the answer is yes or no, but now we're talking about the problem from both sides.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, all of that to say, like, the Clubhouse realization was that the broader the conversation is, the better we're going to be as an industry. And we are going to use that as an opportunity to say, share this podcast. We are making this podcast for that very reason. So if it's your team, pass it around to your sales team. Actually, give it to your service advisors. Give it to some other people. You're like, hey, here's two guys that have good energy in the morning, if anything. Right? And they're going to realize, like, sometimes you need to see somebody enjoy something and have fun doing it in order to, you know, learn it yourself. Like that, I feel like that Donald Miller said that about jazz music. It's hard to understand and appreciate jazz music until you see someone enjoy it and they explain it. It's kind of how I feel with soccer, Kyle.
Hey,
you're kind of showing me how to appreciate soccer little by little.
Yeah, once you start to get into someone else's head and their passions. My wife talks about this a lot, is like, if you're close to someone and you see they're passionate about something and that you can draw from their passion and excitement, then all of a sudden your passion and excitement for that same thing starts to increase. So if we have a passion and excitement for retail automotive.
Yeah, we do.
And so if you need more people on your team getting passionate and excitement about what retail automotive can be for the next 5 years, just lean in.
Yeah, lean into it. That's a great way to end. We hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. There might be a surprise episode tomorrow. We'll see what we can put together. But until then, be grateful for those around you. Hug a little tighter. Enjoy some good turkey. And we'll see you back here soon.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If instead of once, no need to repeat. Run up on me, watch you fall to your knees.